हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so then continuing Sat Kriya Sardipika and the Kushandika means the opening rituals when you establish the fire. Right? So already you've drawn the lines, purified the fire, now we call the fire. He should then install the fire for weddings, who is named Yojak Agni. Footnote: for various ceremonies and samskaras, different forms of Agni are called to carry the oblations to the Lord. So yeah, Vivaha is Yojak, so that's what we're going with here. Driti Homa, entering the house, is Driti Agni. Chaturthi Homa, removing obstacles, is Sikhi Agni. Pumsavana, rites for making a male child, is Chandra Agni. Samantanayana, parting the wife's hair, is Mangala Agni. Shoshayanti Homa, the rite for safe delivery, is Mangala Agni. Namakarana, name-giving ceremony, is Partiva Agni. Paushtika Karma, ceremony for the child's health, is Balada Agni. Annaprasana, first grain ceremony, is Suchi Agni. Chudakarna, haircutting ceremony, Satya Agni. Upanayanam, reformatory rites of a Brahmana, Samudbhava Agni. And Samavartana, graduation ceremony, Teja Agni. Right? So you have all these different ones that this fire then is the one you call. So there's different features of Agni. And so then for a particular ceremony, then that's the one he comes to. So he mentioned here is that he's carrying the oblations. We'll come to a mantra that mentions that like that. So it's that. Yeah. Calling the fire. Yeah. Okay. So then, O fire named Yojak Agni, kindly be present here. O fire of Lord Vishnu, please come. Agni Puja, worship of the fire. Meditating on the fire, as Vishnu should worship the fire with articles beginning with Padyam. So means it's the potency of Vishnu like that. And so it's he's there. And so it means you're seeing him, but you're seeing him as he is coming as fire, but he's not in the fire. Does that make sense? We're not installing, like Lakshmis, they'll install Lakshmi Narayan in the fire because they don't use any demigods. They don't do anything here. Well, here we're worshiping Agni in that as a servant of the Lord, where then he carries the oblations to the Lord. While for the Shris, then the fire is directly Lakshmi Narayan, and then all offerings are being directly given to them. So now we don't use that because here it's Yojak Agni, and he's going to carry the oblation, but we're going to be offering to, Radha and Krishna, their associates, Gauranga and his associates, and the Acharyas, and so many devotees. So for us, then it's a difficulty is that you don't want Radha and Krishna there, because they're too delicate to, put in the fire like that. Lakshmi Narayan you can put, but we don't. We just have the fire carry it to Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? Since it's going there anyway, why would you offer Lakshmi Narayan then to have them give? Right? So that's like asking Krishna to give to himself. But here's then as the devotee, as Agni, then he carries the oblations. It's a subtle point, but it's a point that those who dabble in the other sampradayas generally doesn't make sense for them, because this aspect of how these things are carried, the subtleties of how Krishna is different and non-different. In other words, with a chitta veda veda tattva, these kind of details aren't difficult. But if you're not dealing with that, then there's going to be a problem, right? So they can see the oneness, you know, Vishuddha Dvait, you know, or Vishishta Dvait, but they're not seeing the difference. Okay, Vishnu Stuti, praise of Vishnu. With folded hands, he should say the name of the Vishnu. May the names of Krishna, Ananta, Mukunda, Madhava, Hari, Govinda, Vamsimukha, Gopi Jana Vallabha, the friend of Vrindavan, the beloved Lord of his devotees, Achyuta, the foundation of his devotees' love, the ultimate fruit of all sacrifices, who finds pleasure in the rasa dance, who is kind to the most fallen, who is dear to Srimati Radharani, the destroyer of countless births, remain eternally upon my tongue. Then Om Tat Vishnu, just as those with ordinary vision see the sun's rays in the sky, so the wise and learned devotees always see the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu. Then the Krishna of Aisachidananda. Lord Krishna is the color of a new rain cloud. Therefore, he is compared to a transcendental cloud full of eternity, bliss, and cognizance. He is the original and supreme person. He is the origin of all activities and the one and only Lord of all. He is the worshipable Lord of the best of demigods, the controller of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Krishna is without any beginning. Whatever auspiciousness is found within or beyond this universe, the devotee attains in Krishna alone. Right? So we understand, you know, Krishna's controlling the demigods, but also says here he controls Vishnu. As Vishnu is an expansion, so he's Vishnu Tattva, and he's non-different than Krishna. It's just Krishna in the mood of Vishnu. But the point is Krishna takes that mood of Vishnu and that form and activities of Vishnu to fulfill his own desire as Braja Krishna. And so to give opportunity for the living entities who have strayed from the path of devotional service, then we have the material world is there. And then in the form of Vishnu, he controls that so that things can go nicely for the living entities to elevate themselves to the transcendental position. So in this way, control, because that's what Vishnu does. He may, you know, so many pastimes will attract, he'll associate with the devotees. He'll destroy the demons. He reestablishes the devotional principles, you know, like this. So all these things are going on. But they're all going on because this is what Krishna desires. And so in this way, then Vishnu is doing Krishna's will. So it's Krishna, but he's taken that form to do these activities so that he can be, you know, interactive with the devotees in Vrindavan. Then the fire from afar I place in front of me. I call near the bear, the fire of the relations. May the Lord show compassion here. Right, so he's called the fire from afar, means because Agni is everywhere, so you bring him so he's localized to the one place. Right, so in other words, instead of just being distributed throughout the creation, you know, as in the Brahman feature, because everything has some fire in it and this and that, then you bring him so he's localized there, and so then it's the fire he's taking care of, though he's being controlled by the demigod like that. So that's why you see sometimes these really big yajnas, special yajnas that these big kings would have in the Bhagavatam, the demigods themselves would personally come there. And so they're there as the sarasyas watching and all that, at the same time as their potency is then working with the fire, you know, it means in this case of Agni, you know, and Vayu and all these like that. So the point is you're always going to have these three features. So you're saying from afar, meaning that it has that all-pervading aspect to a localized aspect where then, you know, then the thing, oblations can be carried. And then he's saying, may the Lord show compassion here, because the Lord is the one, it's his potency anyway of Agni and all that. And so that the fire is there, it represents the Lord. And so then then, you know, you see is that whoever you're offering to at the time, that's the person you're going to see. If you're offering to Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya is the one that be accepting it. But it's the fire, Chaturvedas, he's carrying it and giving it to Lord Chaitanya. But then may the remaining fire here, omniscient Chaturvedas, carry the oblations to the gods. So then, yeah, Chaturvedas, he'll carry everything, and whoever is supposed to go, he'll take it. Okay, that's good. Okay, then we have Brahmastapana, because you may not have, because in the yajnas and that, you're going to have your different priests, and then you're going to have a Brahma priest. Right? So the Hotri is taking care of the fire, right? That's his business, and offering the oblations to the fire. So he installs the fire, does the worship, and then does all the offerings. Then you have the Udgata, and sitting opposite him, then it's, so the Hotri is representing Rig, the Udgata is representing the Samaveda. He chants the mantras. It's his duty to see that that's being done. The Advaryu, then he is saying to the establishment of the, building the Yagshala, seeing all the ingredients are there, everything's put together, everything up to the point of making the fire. Once the fire is made, then now it goes, the responsibility is turned over to the Hotri. And so then the Advaryu, then he may be doing still some other things, because different parts of the ceremony, those have to be taken care of, and all these things, or things have to be arranged, maintaining the fire and all that. So basically he's taking care of that by his people that assist him specifically, then are assisting the Hotri. So they'll be engaged in dealing with the fire. And then the Brahma is the fourth. And so then he's the one that oversees that ritual is going part, the setup and all the maintenance is going all right. The mantras are being chanted and everything. So you may have a yajna big enough that you have a Brahma, or you may not. And so if you don't, then there's the Brahmastapana. There's the establishing the Kusamaya Brahmana. It means the Brahmana made of kusa grass. Like that. And then we also see in Bhagavatam that you can even get bigger than this. You have these very big yajnas, like you see with Bali Maharaj. So he has these four, because they're the managers of the yajna. Then you have above that the Acharya. Right? So at the yajna of that yajna, the Shukracharya was the Acharya. Right? So these kind of elements, then they're there. So that's your biggest, you get up to there, and then, it goes down from there. And then how many Brahmins is this? So the point of the Acharya, then it's also this, the overall Shastric things overall. It's just a higher level. So he's the most mature and most, developed in that. So then the Brahma then is the practical one to see that everything's going on. So Brahmastapanam, installing and worshiping the Brahma priest. The groom may receive a Vaishnava Brahmana conversant with the rituals, who will act as the Brahma priest. Alternatively, he can make a doll of Kusha. Okay, that's to make a Kusha Maya Brahmana, the tips of a bunch of Kusa grass and a figure. Or tie the tips, figure eight knot, Brahma Granthi. Then stand the Kusa Maya Brahmana on a designated asan with the roots down and the knot up. While receiving the Kushamaya Brahmana, the Hotri, in this case the groom, should recite all the mantras on his behalf. So, means if you take a bunch of Kusa grass, you have it all together, and then you tie the figure eight knot like we did before with the other thing. It's, that's used a lot, this kind of thing. And so the bottom isn't tied. Like you saw the other one that we were tying and that, the bottom was tied. So it stays and sticks. It was just a few coups of grass there, and the tip is tied and the bottom's tied. But this is a, it's a more of the, like a bundle. And then you tie the top, you don't tie the bottom. So when you take a bunch of grass and you clamp the top, the bottom goes out. And so it'll stand. And then you put it there and it has the knot, the little, like, you know, like the sika and stuff like that. So this ritual, then you can either do for the if you have a Brahma priest like that, or if you don't, then you put the Kusumai Brahmana. And so if the person's there, they'll say the lines. And if they're not, then the Kusumai Brahmana, then whoever's, you know, the priest, in this case, we see the groom is doing, but otherwise the Hotri will do, and then these things are done. He addresses the Brahma thus, may you be comfortable. The Brahma replies, I am comfortable. The groom says, I will worship you. The Brahma replies, you may honor me. While holding items for worship, such as Gandha flowers, tulsi cloth, etc., the groom should touch the Brahma's knee while staying. On this day, in the month of, in the lunar fortnight of, on the lunar day of, on the occasion of, I choose you as the Brahmana for supervising the proper execution of the rituals. The Brahma replies, I have been selected. The groom says, please perform your activities in a befitting way. The Brahma should reply, may I perform to the best of my abilities. Right? So you see is that there's a similar kind of things like when the groom was received by the bride's father, you know, that, you know, may you be comfortable, and then he offers, I'm going to worship you now, please, this and that, because it shouldn't be you're doing something and they're doing something else. It's all about the relationship, people knowing the interaction and all that. And then here he says, may you, he has been selected. So he's acknowledging, I have been selected, so therefore it's his duty. And then he performs it in a befitting way, it's whatever is appropriate for the occasion and everything. It's not that the groom is saying, you know, appropriate what I say. It's a matter of what would be appropriate for this, according to the Guru Sadhu Shastra. And the Brahma says, may I perform to the best of my abilities. You know, so it means how much I understand, how much I can do, my experience. It's like in the Bhagavatam, then they asked Sugadev Goswami, no, I think it was Sutta Goswami, Then to please recite this Bhagavatam. And then he said that I just as birds fly at different heights according to their ability, then I will recite according to my ability. So it's the same principle. To the best of my abilities, I will do the service. The groom taking the water vessel, Abhyukshanapatra, should proceed to the south side of the fire. And at a distance of one aratni, this is from the elbow to the tip of the little finger, from the fire, sprinkle water towards the east. And over that, he should place kusa grass with tips facing east. Yeah, okay. So that means the Brahma is sitting on the south. Then facing west with the stru. So he goes on this other side of the fire, and then, you know, just a little distance from the fire, then he puts down, he sprinkles water, puts down the kusa grass with the roots facing east, you know, and the Brahma priest will sit there and then face the fire. Then facing west, this is the groom, with the strewn grass in front of him, he should take one blade of the strewn grass in his thumb and ring finger of the left hand and throw it in the southwest direction, saying, the depleter of fortune has been thrown away. So we see as the same principle has been done with the fire, is that the fire is there, it's been lit and established, and something from that is taken and that has been removed. So anything that's, you know, inauspicious or impure like this. Facing north with the right foot pressing the left foot, the groom should sprinkle water on the strewn kusa grass and then seat the Brahman on the kusa, facing him towards the north. In the case of the Kushamaya Brahma, he should face the east. Touching water, right? In other words, I think it's when you tie and there's going to be, you know, the kusa grass sits. So then, you know, you put that. Touching water, he should say to the Brahman, sit on the seat of wealth. The Brahman replies, I sit. The groom should offer the Brahman some mahaprasadam, chandan, kumkuma, fruit, and sweets to honor him. Retracing his steps to the east side of the fire, he should sit. Right, so the groom has done that, and then he goes back and he's sitting on that eastern side. To nullify any mistakes during the sacrifice, the Brahma says, Vamadevya. Idam Vishnur Vichakrame Tareda Nidate Padam Samudhamasya Pargam Sure. Vishnu has strided here. He has placed three pure steps on this earth, right? So then any this mantra to Vamanadeva is always chanted. Whenever something's been done, and then to clear if any imperfections, any improper, whatever has been performed, if there's any difficulty, then it's taken, his mantra is chanted. Yeah. It's also it's the first verse of the Samaveda Purusha Shukta. Charustapana. Okay, establishing the charter. So you see, whenever there's major things and they're going, they have a similar pattern on how they work. But there are subsections within the bigger, you know, within this is all within the Kushandika, and that's all within the context of the yajna, and that's all in the context of the wedding, right? And the wedding is seen in the context of the life like that. So when they do, you'll see certain things are repeated. So wherever there's an emphasis, then we see these smaller rituals are then repeated for that ceremony to bring out the elements and the importance of it and the focus on it. And then you see others that are simpler, then they don't have such a full circle of activities. Charustapana, placing the charo or cooked grains. An earthen bowl of cooked down charo prepared before the function should be placed on the north side of the fire at this time. Right. So charo technically is where you're cooking rice and milk. So it's like a sweet rice, but it's, it says cooled down charo. Yeah. Is that there's more milk. So in other words, I think Srila Prabhupada had taught a sweet rice preparation to Bhakti Charamash. And Bhakti Charamash called it charu. So this is the name. So when we say Bhakti Charu, the devotional charu, that offering and that, you know, it's made of very nice things. So he would take the milk and cook it down to half, then put in the rice. Right? So you get a very different kind of, it's more like kheer sweet rice. Does that make sense? Because when you put the rice, it'll cook up to a certain thing and it'll thicken, but it won't, the milk will be thickened, but it won't be as much as if you cook it down. Or there is one, I think it's called, maybe it's firni or something, where you put the rice and you cook, and you keep cooking until the rice dissolves. And then it becomes like a rice pudding. It becomes thick like that. But it'll also still give a slightly different flavor because the thickening is coming. There is some cooking down of the milk, but with the rice there and that, that's actually thickening. But here you've cooked the rice down to half. Then you put rice. But now you're not putting just regular rice. You're putting a fine rice, you know, like the Govind Bhog, because it's something that can still cook in that less water that's in the charo, like that. Or if you don't have that kind of rice, you could probably do like the South Indian one, and where they cook the rice regular, and then, you know, see that it seems that it's completely soft, you know, so it's perfect, but it has the, you know, individual grains like you would serve. then take that and then put that into the cooked down milk like that. So you might want to, yeah, you might need to cook it a touch more. So maybe a little more than half, 60% or something. But you can try around that depending on your milk and how thin it is. So if it's more thin milk, cook it more. If it's more thick milk, you could cook it, you know, just that much. Then put that in and then cook it and then you get. But the, yeah. But the best is that you use the fine grain. Now, bhumi japa. So that's all that's there. So you see charu stapan, it's something to be done, but all you do is then just take it and put it on the north side of the fire. Bhumi japa. Prayers to the earth. Kneeling and placing both his hands on the earth, palms down, the groom should say. So wherever it's saying here, the groom, it would generally mean the Hotri is doing or one of the Brahmins of the thing. So here is that the groom, these are all things that he's doing. In other words, it's his responsibility. He's doing them. But generally always, there's always priests. Like you see when Krishna got married or Vishnu gets married and all that, then still they have a priest. So it's just the way it works. But it's defined here. So in other words, all the samskars are defined from the position of, you know, the groom in this case, then, you know, the husband, then the father, you know, or then the teacher like this, then these are all, they're all seen from that perspective. So then he says, we receive this auspicious offering from the earth. Repeal the enemies who take the wealth of others. Note at night, replace the word dhanam with vasum. Like that. So, yeah. So then that's theirs because everything's being done on the earth. So we're offering respects to her as one of the consorts of the Lord. And so then, there, you know, so repeal the enemies because earth is there. All the offering, all, everything wonderful is coming from, the earth, right? In some form or another, you know, not just when we say earth, we don't mean just the element earth. We mean the earth as this together with the earth, water, fire, air, ether. So within all that, then we have that all these things are being given by Bhumi Devi. You know, it means under the direction of Krishna, but it's still she's the one giving. So then the enemies, then we're dealing with the enemies such as, you know, lust, anger, greed, you know, illusion, madness, and envy. So being controlled by them as the enemies or others who are controlled by them being your enemy, then that's going to be the ones who, it's always a depleter of wealth. It's always, so these who are always depleter of fortune, all the good fortune means you're doing the right thing. So those things that are going to create that, you don't do the right thing and get the right result. Those are the things that we're trying to correct or get rid of like that. So this is not that it just simply means the enemy. It's why are they an enemy? Because of the improper understanding and attitude or application. So you're trying to remove that. Agni Samukhi Karana. Respects to the fire. Facing the fire, he should say, the Lord is one. By his order, all others exist. He who was the first existing sometimes appears in the womb like a human being. He has appeared before and will appear again. All men are turned towards him who is present everywhere. So everyone's turned towards the Lord. There are those who know it, those who know and are making that endeavor, those who know and making the endeavor and actually want to please the Lord in devotion. So all men are turned towards Krishna because he pervading everywhere. People are dealing with that everywhere and whatever it is within that everywhere that they value, that they're making their endeavors for. And so because of that, then they're always trying to, you know, they're always having a purpose. They're going somewhere for a purpose, right? So the point is that manifestation of the Lord that is, you know, pervading everywhere is what they want. Right? Krishna is also the potencies of all buildings, but they're going to a particular building. And that the building does a particular action, which Krishna is the potency of. You know, and there may be individuals there who are taking part in that, but that potency for that is also there. You know, all the different things that are there, or, you know, the money. And so that also is Krishna's potency. And so all these different things. So actually everyone is dealing with the Lord and trying to go towards the Lord. But since we're only dealing with the impersonal aspects and all that, and if they don't understand it, then they don't necessarily get the benefit for that. It means if they're doing properly and all that, following the laws of nature, they'll get the benefit from that. Or if they're doing that because of Shastra or because it is God's laws, then as it goes up, they get more and more benefit. You know, like the animals are purified from that animal condition by following God's laws and doing the animal jobs that they're supposed to do. Right? You know, animals do animal stuff. And so because of that going through, then they get purified. And then they move up from that and eventually get back to the human form. So in the same way as everybody following their duty, then with time can elevate themselves and then and bring themselves to devotion. Trinadi Shodana. Right? So we've called the fire, we worship the fire, and then now we're offering respects. Yeah. Trinadi Shodana. He should take kusa grass in his right hand and starting from the north side of the mandapa, go around while chanting. Then let us give this offering, which is a vehicle carrying our desires, to the worshipable fire with proper prayers. May the Lord give good fortune to us at this gathering. O friend, O fire, may we not cause harm to you. Right, so the offering is the vehicle carrying the desire. So if you want to please Krishna, that's the desire. Then the vehicle is the particular offering. You know, so now, you know, what's going to be the ghee, the this, that, whatever is being offered. You know, or in the arti, then you're offering through the lamp and all these. So these are the vehicles for carrying the desire. So that's why it's not, when we focus too much just on the ritual, that's the vehicle, but what is the ritual carrying? So if we're like smartas get so much on the ritual is done perfect, then everything becomes perfect. But that's the ritual. That's like getting a fabulous car, the best car, everything's clean, it's not a bit of dust on it, but it's never used. No one goes anywhere. No one even knows that it was for. All they know is you're supposed to have this car. And because we want the best, we get the best car. But what is the purpose of it? Oh, that they don't know. You know, so that's why then the intent is actually the main thing. The ritual is there. And so because the intent is to please Krishna, therefore we want to do the ritual to carry it because it's going to carry nicely, right? You know, never try to put something to carry in something that's not so good. Like you have a bag that you don't know if it's going to break at any moment, or one handle is broken, so there's only one there, so you have to grab it. Like that, or, you know, you're carrying something, but it's very wobbly and it may, you know, fall over. You're carrying liquid and it doesn't have the thing. It's too, you know, the pot's too small for what you want to carry. So it's too full. You know, all these things are there. So therefore you're attentive to do it right because then it carries nicely. That's the point of doing the ritual nicely. It's not that the ritual itself has a value other than it's being a vehicle. But the point is, the quality of it is according to your desire and how you deal with it. So it's therefore we have no problem doing all these things very nicely, right? It's not that, oh, you know, no, we wouldn't do because we're not into the ritual, right? Like that. So this time he goes, okay. He goes around, yeah, while chanting, okay, then. The going around all this kusa grass is for protection of the fire and the whole ceremony from the rakshasas. So you put it around there, then they won't come and bother the ceremony. Going around the second time, he should chant, let us bear the wood, let us make offerings to you while considering the proper times. Give success to our prayers more and more so that we may live properly. O friend, O fire, may we not cause harm to you. Yeah. Then, yeah, so here, let's bear the wood, let's make the offerings. One is you have the aspect as it means when one goes for gaining knowledge in the tradition, the Vedic sense, if you will go for the teacher and you want to learn, you go carrying firewood. It means you're willing to serve. So that means it's not just that it's there, but it's the service to make the offerings. You know, the facilities for it, and then the action itself.
Sorry.
Yeah? Some question, or? No? Okay.
Oh, that's also mine. I put it there. The hummus and the... Okay.
Mataji, your microphone's on. I mean, it means we don't mind hearing about the details of what's happening, but. Okay, while considering the proper time, so it's not whimsical, it's the proper time for doing things. Time can mean in the Muhurta, or time can mean also just what is the order of things, because time means the movement. So, by time, then, as we're going through these rituals in this order, this is the proper time for them. Once you start, then this one goes after this one, right? So one is willing to put in the effort and all that. One is not lazy, making the proper arrangements, getting all the ingredients. Then you're making the offerings, you're putting in that, and at the proper times. Yeah, and give success to our prayers more and more, so then, you know, that we're dependent on the Lord, and that those things are going in that direction, connected on the Lord, and so that we may live properly. So, in other words, success is there so that we may live properly, not suggest it's there so that we can just have nice facilities and be comfortable. That's why Prabhupada says, what you're doing is you're becoming comfortable, which means not uncomfortable. That's what you're working for. But the point is you're looking to live properly. How to be Krishna conscious, how to do your duties, how to interact with others and everything like that. While going the third time, he should chant, may we be able to kindle you, help us to complete our activities. The devas eat the offered oblations through you. Bring the offering to the Adityas. Let us stoke the fire. O friend, O fire, may we not cause harm to you. So we also see there is that aspect of the relationship, you see this come up, that something specific is given in the beginning of the verse, but the end, then we see the last thing is that, you know, something may go very nice. We have this relationship. We not do harm to you. So doing harm means we don't deal with the fire properly. We don't deal with the ritual properly and all that. We have a proper, improper attitude or some pride, or we don't use proper ingredients, you know, not because of that we, you know, due to misunderstanding or laziness and things like that. So we'd be able to kindle you, because otherwise to be able to take part in this, that's also by the Lord's grace that we can take part and we can do these things. Like that, help us complete our activities. We've started this, let everything go, and then, you know, the success of that. And the devatas are eating things through you. I mean, as we said before, all the offerings are being given to the fire, and he carries them to who is going. So we're not worshiping the demigods themselves. We're worshiping Krishna's associates, but, you know, this is the principle that it goes, how the mechanics goes and how it's carried. That's they're taking care of, but we're doing it in relationship to the Lord. So Krishna is pleased, then the demigods get taken care of, because they being the angas of the Lord, then if you please the Lord, the angas are also naturally taken care of. After, he should put all the kusa in Ishona corner, northeast corner. Then taking them one by one, the straw should be placed on the four and three lines. Right? So he's gone around three times, and that now he's going to place them. So he's placed them in the northeast corner, right? And so being there in that northeast corner, that's where he's going to take them from, right? So then, because he's going to go around three times, he can take some and then put around, come back the second, take some more like that. Then taking them one by one, the stress will be placed in the floor in three lines. Without chanting mantra, you should start from northeast corner and make one line of crucifix rest touching each other to the southeast corner. In the same way, you should put two more lines for the next one. The lines are touching at the point where they start. Similarly, we should put crucifix in three lines starting from the southeast corner and going southwest. After that, three lines from the northwest, the northeast, and from southwest corner to northwest corner. Right, so in each corner, then he's going and then going like that.
Swastika.
Yes.
Is putting three lines means we generally put only one line, no? Of
yes. I mean, we've been putting one line, but I mean, you could, I mean, the point is that these, they're all touching and everything. We're now putting one line, but if you have more, then you could put down three. But we're going around, you know, like that. So it's just a matter of, I think one's going to be hard enough for most people, but if you can do three, then that's better. Okay. But then by the sounds that looks like it here, it's being done at once. You know, you're doing all three on one side at a time.
Yes.
Like that. Swastika and Nivedana, worshiping the directions. You should offer flowers and chandan, which has been offered to the Lord, to the 10 directions, saying, so this is, then he's offering Mahaprasadam to Purvasyam, the east, to Sri Narada, to the southeast, to Kapiladev, to the south, to Yama, Bhagavat, to the southwest, to Bhishmadev, to the west, to Sukadev, to the northwest, to Janaka Maharaj, to the north is Sri Sadashiva, the northeast, to Sri Prahlad, the upwards direction, then Brahma, and the downward direction, Baliraj. Like that. So, then Vimshati, yes.
Sorry, Mara. This, yes. We are saying that we are offering Mahaprasada, and then here it says you offer flowers and chandan.
Yes.
But we are also doing generally Akshata.
Yeah, because it means here flowers and chandan would be your standard thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be replaced. Akshata basically can replace anything.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, because we're doing it on a daily basis, then for us, that, you know, that the chandan is there, the flowers are there, and you can do, and you have the amount that you can then take and then put and then throw and then take, and, you know, you have all that, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Then we generally don't have that kind of arrangement. So we've been doing it with Akshata. And then, as a, you know, and then when we go and do our other, you know, technical yajnas and this and that, then we do the same. Now, at a wedding ceremony, if you wanted, you could go into doing this because you have people doing that, but you have to remember to manage it.
Yes.
Like that. But otherwise, for our daily yajna, when we're doing the technical, you know, like deity installations or bhumi pujas and those kind of things, then we're generally just sticking with that. Because it's hard enough to just get the basics. You're going to some other place and just that you might even get enough wood or ghee or bricks to build things and a few other things, you're doing good. So, yeah, so you just keep it as, so everything's done, but as simple as possible. And as a Nitya Homa, it can also be, if you have facility at one's house, one's doing Nitya Homa every day, that way can do it with the chandan and flowers, then it's nice, it's good. But that's what it's replacing.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Vimshati Kashtika Homa, offering 20 sticks into the fire. You should take 20 sticks of Kadira, Palash, or Udumbara wood, or Kusa grass, which are of 2 Pradesh, 18 inches in length. You should pour a shruv of ghee over the middle portion and offer into the fire without mantra while meditating on Vishnu. Right, so... yeah, so Kadira, Palash, Udumbara, these are your standard, you know, auspicious woods, you know, but whatever wood is being used can be wood. Or you can use kusa grass, right? So then if you don't you know, all have all these nice woods or something. In other words, it has to be nice, thin wood that then that to that 20, So the wood, So it just builds up the fire. So it's without the offering 26, it's without mantra, because the fire, by now you've started the fire and all that, it has to be maintained. So now it's putting in. So it's also an offering.
All right.
Then we, yes.
So after this Vimshati, then again later also we come about Zamantrika Homa, offering this wood in.
Yeah, but then that's just like one stick. But this is 20 sticks, you know, to get things going.
So this
is also a nice offering.
The purpose of this particular thing is just for the maintaining of fire. It has
basically, because much of the time, if you're just doing on your own, you have to have a place for being able to put things into the fire. You know, for us, we're used to having, you know, so many assistants and all that. Someone else can be maintaining the fire anyway. So it also has the element of being an offering. You know, because wood and ghee is the main offering. So you see here, wood is taken, ghee is poured over the middle portion and then offered into the fire.
Okay. Yeah, also we offer tulsi stick instead of.
Yeah, tulsi stick can also be used. That will work. So kusa, tulsi stick, it's that auspicious thing. I mean, so tulsi is generally only known by the Vaishnavas and all that. So, you know, they may do. But it could also be kusa grass is there. You know, it's like sometimes when you're going to different places and you're doing these things, if you don't have, like in Mayapur, kusa grows, we can harvest the fresh kusa. But if not, you have the mats, you know, especially the simple mats, not the really fancy ones, but the simple ones, then, you can just cut all the strings off, and then you have all these, you know, basically of a Pradesh length, you know, I mean, of a hand length or two Pradesh of kusa that can be used for any time, like putting around the fire, putting into the fire, doing all these different things or making things. But if you're using that dry and you want to tie it, you have to soak it in water first. And after it's soaked for a while, where it's soft enough that you can bend it without it cracking, then you can tie it in.
Yes.
Okay. Then Ajya Samskar, purifying the ghee. Right? So now the things on the, we've installed the fire, worshiped the fire, and done those aspects. Right? Protected the fire. Now we're going to put the offering into it. Taking two blades of kusa grass with the tips intact, he should cut them to the length of one pradesh with his fingers without using the nails, saying, O Pavitras, you are devotees of Vishnu, right? Because, you know, on behalf of the Lord, where do they get the purity from? The devotees are the most pure. The Lord being the supreme pure, then the devotees of the Lord, then they're pure. And so here, then they in service of the Lord, then that have that purity. Sprinkling them with water, he used to say, you are pure through the desire of Vishnu. He should place them on a copper vessel, and after pouring ghee into the vessel, using his thumb and ring finger of the right hand, he should grasp the tips of the kus, and with the thumbs and ring finger of the left hand, he should grasp the root end. The right hand should be palm up, and the left hand should be palm down. Right? So you're holding it like this. You know, one pradesh like this. And then he dips and then you throw into the fire. Like that. By dipping the middle portion into the ghee, he should then offer ghee into the fire one time, saying, may Savita purify you with this faultless kusa, with these rays from the sun. Right? Because the kusa grass then is bringing the rays from the sun. That's how it's growing nicely. It grows out in the fields. It can handle very, very intense heat. No problem. You know, other things may wither, but these don't. Because kusa also, the roots go very, very deep. And so then you have also the kusa. It grows, it's grown because of Varahadev after he killed Hiranyaksha when he came out of the water. Then when he shook, you know, you know, after you come out, then all the boards will shake, and then the water would sprinkle, you know, throughout the universe. So where it landed, that's where kusa grass would grow. So it's also, that's why kusa is always used in the sacrifice and all these things, because Varaha is the lord of sacrifice or yajnas. And so therefore, then it's natural. Right. So therefore, they're devotees of Vishnu, and they're pure through the desire of Vishnu, because he's the supreme pure. You're worshiping him, and that state of consciousness then is the most pure. So by Krishna's desire, then that pure state is attained. So we can desire that it's there, that we come to that platform, but still Krishna has to fulfill it. Right. He should then offer two more oblations of ghee into the fire in the same way without mantra. So the first time, then he's doing it, he's saying the mantra, and then after that, then he does it two more times. Holding the kus in his left hand, he should sprinkle water on them, and then using the right hand, throw them in the fire. So you've been using the two hands. Now you let go with this hand, and then you sprinkle that with water, you know, from the being prokshana. Then you put it into the right hand, and then that's offered into the fire. You should sprinkle the vessel of ghee with water and then lower it into the north part of the fire three times. And then lay it on strewn kusa grass, right? So the place where it goes, then there's supposed to be kusa grass there. Right, so into the north part of the fire three times. Oh, okay. So that'd be probably the easiest then would be just to go around to that side of the fire. If it's a small fire, it doesn't matter. You're right there. But these really big fires, you could just go around to that side, because from the front, you can't get at it because of all the things that are there and all. But from the north side, you know, from any other side, then you have the steps there. You can actually just lean on them and then do. That would work really nice.
Maharaj?
Yes.
It's north or northeast exactly.
It says the north part of the fire.
Okay. Okay.
You know, because you're right there, you just go around there and just offer, and then so you don't wouldn't have, you know, you just go around that much that you're past the, like for us, past the lamp and that, past the corner. Because you have all the things. Also you can't get on it so easily because of all the ghee. But on the north side, that's, you know, where the Udgata is going and putting, not the Udgata, Advaryu or its assistants are going and, you know, sitting there or kneeling on there and putting things in the fire. So it'd be very easy to do from there. Well, we're just going there and kind of going a little bit towards that northwest side, but we could go a little farther and then it would make it much easier. Cause then you can just go and put your foot right on there and lean right in if you have a big kunda. Then Shruva Samskar. So that was purifying the ghee, now purifying the spoons. The Shruva should be made from Kadira, Palash, or Udumbara wood, right? So it's the same auspicious woods. I think Kadira is, I'm not sure it's Kadira. One of them is jackfruit. Unless that's Palash. Yeah, it'd be good to find out what the names of these are. I just know the one was. I think Udumbara is a kind of banyan. Like that, a Kadira or a Palai, one of those. Yeah. So we have banyan, jackfruit. I'm not sure what the last one is. And the Shruva should be of one aratni, distance from the elbow to the tip of the little finger, right? You should purify the Shruva. That's for you. You have a bigger arm, it's longer. You have a shorter arm, it's shorter. You should purify the Shruva by sprinkling it with water, then lowering it into the north part of the fire three times. Right? So the same thing. It's also sprinkled and then put over the fire. Uda Kanjali Sheka, taking blessings for performing sacrifice. Keeping his right knee on the earth and his left knee raised, he should pour water from his cupped hands from west to east on the south side of the fire, saying, so that means on the right side, you know, down the one side, like you see that they're doing like this and then going around. This is what we're doing here. So first is, O Ananta, please allow this rite. Next is Ovachuta, allow this, right? So that's pouring from the west side, from south to north, saying, Ovachuta, please allow this, right? He should pour on the north side from west to east, saying, O Sarasvan, please allow this, right? And then, so that's the three sides. Then the Agni Paryukshana, that'll be around the fire. He should sprinkle water around the fire in a clockwise direction. O Aniruddha, bring forth the sacrifice. Bring forth the Lord of the sacrifice for good fortune. You are situated everywhere. Purifier of desires. Purifier of desires. May the Lord of worlds, Lord of words, relish our prayers. Yeah, so then Aniruddha, because he gives the results, you know, he will be, you know, that element of that, what you're trying to gain from it, what your intent is, you know, so he's the Lord of all that aspect. So may he bring forth the sacrifice. So we have that intent, by his grace it may come forth, because we want to do something, but it still has to have the blessings of the Lord. And, you know, for good fortune means to be engaged in the Lord's service, and be stable and steady in that and in our relationships with him and the devotees. Then he is situated everywhere. So that means in everything that you do, then it can always be seen in how it's context to the pleasing the Lord. So that means it's always going to be going through Aniruddha. Purifier of desires, because then what your intent is then, you know, what's it for? So the purer the intent, the purer then what it is that you're dealing with. Let the Lord of words relish our prayers. So may our prayers, you know, because they're coming, they're authorized from the Veda, or they're being given by the acharyas and like this, then may these, our offering of these prayers please the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Good on that. Okay, so then. Yeah, next then we have the Virupaksha. So that's going to be raising his right knee from the ground, right? He should hold fruit, right? So we saw for the Uttakanjali Sheka, you have the right knee down, the left up. This one's the other way.
Maharaj?
Yes.
What is this Virupaksha Japa significance? And
well, see, it's worship of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, basically.
Okay.
Because all the different things, all whatever we have, ingredients, everything is coming from him. Controlling them, and how, you know, that they're being used, they're controlling them in the application to each individual living entity according to his results of his actions, that's being taken care of by Paramatma, by Kiradaksha. But that the ingredients are there and they have their position of what they do. In other words, the manifestation of the primary creation within the universe, that's Garbhodakshai Vishnu. The application of that is Kiradakshai Vishnu. Right? So then it's still, you need to know, appreciate that all this is going on because he's given that background. It's all there. So is that okay?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So we'll see as we go. And it'll be very interesting if you see the translation of them. Then this also is another one of those where devotees that hang out too much with the Shris, then this freaks them out. They can't understand this. And also just all these little rituals all throughout and all that, because this is the Samaveda. And generally they means they do have Sri Vaishnava Samaveda. But generally, you know, they're removing, they simplify down and stick to, they do Vedic, but there's a lot more Pancharatric elements. Well, for us, we've been given, we do a full Vedic thing, but it's been adjusted, so it's all centered around the Lord. The names have been all like here. The mantra, Om Prabhu Aniruddha, like this. So we'll have these different things, because I think in the smartest when they're doing, or others when they're doing, then it won't have all these names of Vishnu in there. You know, some of them are there, but otherwise, if not, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami arranges that they're there. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we'll stop here. And we'll continue with the Virupaksha, because that'll have a lot of more, you know, explanation, more philosophy. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki.